My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
What can you do for Rick and Kay? Well, you can pray for them. Those prayers mean more than you can imagine. We want to ask God, why? Why did this happen? And I just have to tell you, I would be a fool. I'd be a fool to act like I could explain the unexplainable. I don't know why. I weep for my friends, for Rick and Kay, for my nephew whose life has been lost.
That's Tom Holliday, brother-in-law of Rick Warren, and a teaching pastor at Saddleback Church, leading weekend worship services there at Saddleback, reflecting personally and pastorally on the death of Rick Warren's son by suicide. Matthew Warren, that news broke late last week, and it was kind of a punch in the gut for a lot of Christians. And I said publicly, I've been a vocal public critic of Rick Warren's theology for the better part of two decades. But you must relate to the man now as a fellow father and husband. And the depth of the pain of when a child dies is one thing, but then by suicide and after long mental illness is entirely a different thing. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 10th of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend the first hour of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday talking about Christians and mental illness and depression and suicide as well. Pastor Todd Peppercorn will be our guest a little bit later. Dr. Matt Phillips joins us. He's written recently about the events surrounding the formation of the very first Lutheran confession, distinctly Lutheran confession, the Augsburg Confession that leads off that distinctively Lutheran part of the Lutheran confessions, that whole body of documents that makes Lutheranism what it is. We'll talk about the history of that document, the Augsburg Confession. And then we are going to conclude our seven-part series that we've been doing on creation with Dr. Joel Heck, professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. We're going to talk about dinosaurs, creation, and the flood. That's in hour two of Issues, Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours if you've got a question or a comment on Christians, mental illness, depression, suicide, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or we have left space at our Facebook fan page for your questions and comments on Christians and depression. Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and he's author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What was your personal reaction when you heard about the suicide of Matthew Warren?
Well, it's hard to even put into words that sort of thing. Rick Warren certainly in Lutheran circles gets a lot of criticism, a lot of critique of his theology, as you said earlier. And so my first reaction was the profound sadness for what he is going to be going through, especially because of the crisis that I fear that this could cause to his faith. And that of so many Christians around the world. It's something like suicide just kind of puts everything about what it means to be a Christian right in front center, and you just can't get around that question. And that's a mighty hard thing to deal with.
Now, you are no stranger to suicide yourself. You've had a brush with it, at least one that you've written about rather publicly. Tell us
yep.
your story.
Well, I was... I think it was 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with major clinical depression, and I was on partial disability, which meant that I was trying to be a pastor, plus I was trying to be sick at the same time. Not a good combination. And on a Good Friday, in fact, I got a phone call from my insurance company informing me that they had decided that I was all better and that they were taking me off of disability retroactively 2 weeks prior, and that I should have a nice day. That event really triggered for me going into a, let's see how many plates I can keep spinning at one time, to there's no way that this is ever going to get better, that my family, my congregation, that everyone is going to be better off if I simply end my life. And so on that Good Friday, that's really what I was planning and intending and working on. And the only way that I'm alive today is because of my own pastor, and my wife, my counselor, and an awful lot of people seeing to it that I didn't do this thing. And so I think that I can understand pretty well that kind of darkness and despair, as well as just the complete confusion and uncertainty that it creates for Christian churches. And it is just such a hardship, because our gut reaction anytime you see something like this happen is, yes, but they were Christian. They should know better. You know, what were they thinking? And yet there it is. So how do you reconcile these things? I think that is the issue. And that's where Pastor Warren and his wife and his congregation, I'm sure, are at right now.
So if you would respond to that, because there is kind of a, I will say, superficial, kind of a flippant view of Christianity, even held by some Christians.
Sure.
That, you know, if you're a Christian, then your spiritual life, your emotional life, your life will probably be in order. You're going to be immune from this kind of stuff. Or maybe, while it may trouble you, it would never get you to the point of considering taking your own life. If that's the case, there must be something wrong with your faith. If that's the case, maybe you're not a Christian. How do you respond to that?
Well, here's my take on so many questions that we struggle with in, certainly in America, but we don't have a monopoly on this, and that is that we equate faith with either willpower or kind of an emotional attitude, so that whatever the problem is, whatever the suffering it is that we may face, there's going to be one part of me that is going to think, well, the reason that I'm really struggling with this is because I don't have enough faith. And what I mean by that is I don't have the willpower to do this myself. Now, that's not faith. that's not what we're talking about there. And yet, because we have been conditioned to believe that faith is an act of will, a decision, it's something that I can control and master myself, then anytime something creates doubt or uncertainty, the fault has to be with faith. And maybe it's just that something is wrong, something stinks. You know, maybe death is not something that is a matter of willpower. You know, you can't decide not to die. You can't decide to reject the law or the consequences of it. So because we, meaning American Christianity, have such a skewed understanding of the Christian faith, questions involving any kind of mental illness, but certainly an extreme issue like suicide, just it doesn't compute. Because if you're talking about a willpower, then that's evidence that you must not really be a Christian.
All right, here's a variant on that with a few minutes before we take our break, Todd.
All right.
And that is, and it goes to the doctrinal issue. And sad to say, I think a lot of people jump to that conclusion with regard to Rick Warren and his son. And I think prematurely, the best response, in my opinion, was simply to lay aside the theological disagreements here for a moment and say, this is a fellow human being, fellow Christian. But the variant is, look, it must be the result of a deficient theology.
Sure. Oh, right. He committed suicide because he didn't have all of the right answers in some fashion. Well, and there are a couple ways of responding to that. One, in our own church body, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there were three Lutheran pastors that committed suicide just last year. So this is not some sort of problem that is outside of our own borders. This happens across the board. That's kind of number one. But number two, what that sort of answer presumes is that everything that is going on when it comes to suicide is a spiritual issue. And I would say that there are a lot of factors, some of which certainly are spiritual, but some of which are physiological, that they may be psychological, emotional, mental. There are all kinds of factors put into play. And when we sort of lump all of it together into one big bucket, we are we're not understanding the doctrine of the two kingdoms. We're not understanding how God works in the world, and we're making all of these things into one big problem, and we might as well just become Christian scientists and say, well, you know, any physical problem that you have, if you have faith enough, if you can mentally work your way out of it, then that'll be the problem.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. We're talking about Christians, mental illness, depression, suicide on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 10th. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address at issuesetc. Or leave a question or comment for Pastor Peppercorn at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues Etc. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
By grace I'm saved.
Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christians, depression, mental illness, suicide. A conversation that's always apropos. It's not as though these things have been a secret in the Christian community, but occasioned, of course, by late last week's news of Rick Warren's son, Matthew Warren, committing suicide in the aftermath of that. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California. He's authored the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. I think one thing might be raised, and this is particular to the Warren family's case, okay? And I do want you to address it because I think it's a conclusion some may come to, and I think it needs a response. And that is, look, being a pastor's kid is hard enough. If even at a small parish, you live in the bubble, the expectations are, whether they're real or not, are at least felt. To be Rick Warren's son, I mean, come on. He's arguably one of the most famous next to Billy Graham pastors in all of the country. And so this is maybe a result of too much pressure of living in that fishbowl. What are your thoughts there?
Well, that's certainly that's possible. And any pastor that has children can recognize the level of pressure, either real or perceived, that's put on them. What I think that we need to be really careful with here is trying to insert some kind of theological reason or guessing as to what was in Matthew's heart. And frankly, there's no way that we're going to know. We're not doctors. I don't have pastor glasses that I could peer into his heart with or anything. That is possible, but I personally haven't the faintest idea what kind of specific pressures were put on Matthew. And even if that is the case, let's assume that all of that is true. So what? That the fact is that he was a sinner, broken, a fallen sinner in need of Christ's mercy and peace, and that he was struggling with a dreadful illness, and that this is the result. We should never be surprised when the wages of sin is death. Now, I don't mean that, you know, he committed some specific sin that caused this, but that is, anytime we're talking about death, we're talking about the result of sin. And that is the case here. So I think that as Christians, we need to be very circumspect and careful about not trying to read into situations where we simply don't know. And that's true in any congregation. Anytime something like this happens in a Christian congregation, everyone is going to rush to all kinds of judgments based on whatever it is that they think might have been going on, or, you know, based on random conversations, perhaps even from years ago, that may not have even been true. And none of it matters. This is a young man that obviously was fighting something dreadful, and they need our compassion and care, not our sort of critical analysis right now.
We're using these terms, and I'm glad you used both of them. I used the term illness, and you earlier in our conversation, with reference to yourself and your own situation, used the word sick. And if it's touched you, as you well know, any kind of mental illness, depression has touched you, you know that it's every bit as real as if your kid has the flu.
Yes,
you can't wave it away. You can't wish it away, and you can't do anything. It is something that is endured in a lot of ways, although it tends to linger a lot longer than the flu, unfortunately.
Well, and that could be. And a part of this, I think, is because mental illness of any kind, it's such a multifaceted monster where there are going to be chemical, physiological, psychological elements and spiritual elements all kind of wrapped up into it. You know, if I have a broken leg, it's fairly clear on what my course of treatment is going to be. I'm going to go to a doctor, the doctor's going to set the bone and put a cast on or whatever, and then I'm going to go from there. And any response that I may have to that, you know, let's say that I'm angry about it and that I'm going to lose income from my job or whatever, in that case, that's going to be clearly seen not as the same as the broken leg, but my mental or emotional response to it. Well, that's not the case when you're talking about mental illness. In mental illness, we sort of lump it all into one big bucket. And because of that, it's very difficult to kind of really wrap your brain around even what's happening. And so we can create causes that don't exist and maybe even create a faith crisis that I'm sure was an element of what was going on. It almost always is, but may not have even been the primary element. We don't know. That's really what that comes down to.
Well, what you're saying there is what the psychiatrists call it is kind of an undifferentiated anxiety that often just attends this depression. It's not as we think depression, we think sad, but often it is fear. It is terrible stress and anxiety, and coupled with the inability to kind of see all the puzzle pieces in the proper perspective. It's all just one big pile.
Well, the way that I would describe it is when we use a word like depression, we kind of gravitate towards sadness. Someone's depressed, that means they're sad. Maybe that means they've been sad for a long time, but we're still basically talking about being sad. Depression is not simply being sad. It's a matter of your brain is not able to process stimulus in the way that it is supposed to. It is not able to process information the way that it is supposed to. And that may manifest itself in lots of different ways. For men, for example, depression often comes out as impatience and irritability and anger, and not sadness as we would sort of traditionally look at it. So because there are so many different ways that this can be expressed, and we have such a narrow view, depression equals sadness, it just makes all of it that much harder for us to unravel.
Then talk about, and here you kind of have to get outside your experience into that of your family. Talk about what it's like for the family, what it's like for your family when they're kind of trying in your darkest hours, they're kind of trying to reach you, but you're not going to get reached. In all those ways that families connect with one another in their relationships, the simple things, the words, whatever it may be, it's not getting through to you. Talk about that.
Well, the great frustration that families, and I think I could broaden that a little bit more and say families, close friends, even congregations, let's say, these sort of close community groups. Each person has their own perception of what they think the problem is and of what they think the solution is. For some people, it's going to be a very spiritual issue. For others, it's going to be, I got to figure out a way to cheer them up. For others, it's going to be, well, they must not understand that God really loves them, and so I have to set them straight. And so there may be all of these different reactions to what's going on. And because of that, it can create an incredible amount of confusion and anger toward the person, as well as toward each other. I know that for my own situation, if you were to talk to my wife, I think that what you would find she would say is, all I was trying to do was hold our family together because I didn't know what to do to help him. So I had to let people that knew what to do to help him to try and do their thing, and my vocation, my role was to keep our family intact along the way. I'm going to guess, and this is a guess, no question, that in the case of Pastor Warren and his wife Kay, they were trying to figure out how do we care for our son in a way that's going to actually be helpful, getting doctors, counselors, whatever the treatment was going to be. How do we do this in a way that is going to actually help him while not trying to run his life, ruin his life, be judgmental, and yet at the same time not being able to get inside his skin and understand what's really going on. It is very difficult for someone that does not suffer from depression to understand that perspective from the inside. It really is. And so I am always very careful to, I don't want to assume that I know how another person is suffering or feeling, because I can't get inside to their heart. What we know, however, and this maybe is where we need to be going, is, okay, so how do we as a church, how do we as Christian congregations, as pastors, as parishioners, as family members, how do we actually help these people? What do we really do? How can we serve these people in such great need?
We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 10th, and we're talking about Christians' mental illness, depression, and suicide. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org. ccle.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Here's some good news for you. According to the pro-abortion activists, we're winning the war on abortion. A young pro-life blogger went to a young feminist leadership conference. A workshop stressed five things we pro-lifers are doing right. We've turned the conversation on abortion to our advantage. We're effectively doing battle on our own turf with state legislation, referendums, and education. We're making pro-aborts spend money by constantly bringing the battle to them where they have to take the defensive. And we're targeting Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion mills that receives huge sums of our tax dollars. Finally, our efforts are causing fractures in their unity, and they're fighting with one another. So be encouraged and keep supporting pro-life efforts, because it's working.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Coming up this summer, it's going to be a special summer here at Issues Etc., a special summer here in Collinsville, Illinois, where the studios of Lutheran Public Radio are located. Just down the road, at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, we are going to be holding the very first Issues Etc., Making the Case conference. This is the very first conference that we've held under the banner of Issues Etc. It will be held in conjunction with the 5th anniversary of our return to the air. That's June the 14th and the 15th, a Friday and a Saturday, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. It's going to kick off with a live broadcast of Issues Etc. Meals are included, 3 meals included in the $100 price for the 2-day conference, and you'll get to hear the best of Issues Etc. guests, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Pastor Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough, Suzanne Venker, Dr. Alvin Schmidt. I'll be speaking there as well. You can register online, issuesetc.org. You can send an email for more information, conference@issuesetc.org, or you can give Craig a call and ask him. He'll help you register as well, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig and ask him about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and 15th, here in Collinsville, Illinois. We're talking about Christians in Depression. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest, pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. If you got a question or a comment for us, we got about another half hour with him on this Wednesday afternoon. And if you'd like to call in or email anonymously, we will certainly honor that request. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave a question or comment for Pastor Peppercorn at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. I want to talk about what you introduced before the break, and that is, what do we as a church, what do we as fellow Christians, the body of Christ, do? But let's come at it this way. When you were in that situation of deep depression to the point of considering seriously taking your own life, what did you need, Todd?
What I needed, first of all, was people that were going to actually be there. One of the greatest challenges always to mental illness is that there is a tremendous stigma involved, so that if you struggle with a mental illness, depression, bipolar disorder, whatever it is, there is an incredible amount of pressure put on you to keep this to yourself. And so the isolation that the illness creates is exacerbated because you feel like you can't reveal your weakness, your need to others. Now, it may be obvious to others, it may not, but because of that stigma, that means that most people that suffer from mental illness are incredibly isolated. In addition to that, depression itself is a very isolating disease, where because you're unable to process this outside stimulus like you would normally do, you are naturally going to be isolating yourself anyway. And this is hard. Make no mistake about it. To be present for someone who is suffering from depression is very, very difficult because, well, frankly, they're depressing. they're often hard to be around. If you're talking about men, they may be irritable or angry. There's going to be guilt and a thousand things kind of swirling around. And so to first off, to simply be there and not be there with an agenda of, okay, I'm going to fix this person. You know, I'm going to give them this piece of information or whatever it is. To be there, and in my case, that meant my wife, first of all. That meant my pastor. That meant finding a counselor whom I trusted, which I know is a whole other topic of discussion. And also in my case, having a congregation that was going to be there for me and for my family in need. So I think that's the first step, and that may not sound like it's any kind of great shakes, but it really, really is, because so often in the middle of this kind of sickness, you are so alone. And that's a part of what leads to all of these suicidal ideations, is just this notion that I am alone, I am always going to be alone, nobody understands, nobody is going to be able to fix this pain is too much, I cannot bear it myself. And so to be there for someone and say, I know that I can't take this, but I want you to know that I'm with you in this, however that may be. That's really number one.
Did you also need, a clinical diagnosis? Did you need medication?
If you were to ask psychiatrists and counselors, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a counselor, so I'm not speaking from that kind of expertise, but I remember quite vividly my own counselor saying to me that medication was around 75% of treatment. So for me, I would consider that to be tremendously important to get to a doctor, get to a psychiatrist if it's possible. But if that's not possible, get to your family doctor. Just explain what is going on that may mean bringing somebody with you, your spouse, someone close to you, that may be able to express it even if you can't, and kind of get at the bottom of what's going on, because it may be clinical depression, it might be a thyroid disorder, which is often easily confused with clinical depression. There may be all kinds of other things involved, and that's what we have doctors for, is to care for us. So, yeah, I would definitely say if it's the very first step, but it's certainly close to the top.
Some questions from our listeners. First up, Kelly in Canada says, the idea of self-control as the greatest Christian virtue seems prevalent in today's church. The glorification of human willpower, you spoke about that earlier, Todd, uh-huh. with some help from God, of course, can make people feel as though no burden should ever be too great. A misuse of 1 Corinthians 10:13, reinterpreted as God won't give you more than you can handle, can lead people into despair instead of comfort. How would you address these issues as they relate to mental health problems?
I think that that's really an offshoot of that misunderstanding of faith that we talked about earlier, and that is that we equate willpower and self-control with faith. And if I and really the same could be said not only of this, but really of sin in general, is that we kind of live in a culture that believes that you should be able to control. You should be able to control your behavior. And while that may be true in an external way to some degree, kind of first use of the law, if you will, we have Romans 7. We are under slavery of sin apart from Christ. And so this idea of self-control as the ultimate Christian virtue often misses the forgiveness of sins. It misses the gospel. And if you miss the gospel, you miss the fact that healing, whether we're talking about spiritual healing and the forgiveness of sins, healing comes from outside of us. That is how God works, is he brings the gospel, and he brings people into our lives to bring care, however that may be. So to kind of wrap that thought and figure that out is a big one. If we can lose the idea of self-control and get more into the idea of we are a community of broken sinners that need Christ and need one another, that's going to open a lot of doors.
Let's take a quick phone call from Bill, who's listening in San Antonio, Texas, before we take this break. Hi, Bill. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just really wanted to thank Pastor Peppercorn for opening this dialogue. I've been diagnosed bipolar 1 with depression and anxiety disorders, and it's just been a long, lonely road, and I really, really appreciate hearing Pastor Peppercorn, bring this dialogue out, bring it up to where it can be a very lonely thing and to deal with, and a very difficult thing to deal with. And I'm just very thankful to hear it being brought out in the open.
Bill, thanks very much. Thanks for listening down in Texas. What are your thoughts there with about a minute before we take our break?
Well, that is really the issue, is that the first step of recognizing we have nothing to fear as Christians. I don't have to be afraid of bearing my weakness, of letting others in. And so often, if I kind of give this perception that I have to be the perfect Christian, not only as a pastor, but simply as a Christian, and that I can't have problems, I am creating that isolation which Satan wants so very much. And so to open the door and recognize, you know, we are, you know, we're the baptized, and we continue to struggle with these things. That's what the church is about. That, I would suggest, is at least a part of what St. Paul's talking about when he says, bear one another's burdens. That means bear one another's weaknesses in Christ.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 10th. We're talking about Christians and depression. Stay tuned.
Well, you know, you sometimes hear from people that the liturgy itself is a barrier to reaching out with the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's just a bunch of baloney.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation, Classical Christian Worship, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, this summer in Collinsville, Illinois.
The liturgy itself is overwhelmingly the very Word of God by which the outreach takes place. And it is an incredibly crafted balance of stuff that stays the same and of stuff that changes. So it has stability and variety automatically built into it, and it frees up the pastor to work on proclaiming the mystery of Christ that particular liturgy is holding up for the people on that day. I think it's a great outreach tool rather than thinking of it as something that's a barrier.
Register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
When someone asks you, "What do you believe as a Christian?" how do you respond? Do you have a confession of faith? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, "I Believe." You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Mark Hemingway answers the question, "Why Lutheranism?" with "Why Not?" Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Here's what Ann wrote at our Facebook fan page about our guest, Pastor Todd Peppercorn's book, "I Trust to Endark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression." Ann says, "I read Pastor Peppercorn's book and I recommend it for everyone to read his story of God's love and of healing grace." You'll find a link to "I Trust to Endark My Road." It's absolutely free, and the link is completely downloadable at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for it under the Listen on Demand page. It's free download, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Another question, this one comes from Mark. Mark says, "As someone who suffers from depression, I can tell you from experience that Satan loves to use it against us. You either think that you're so sinful that God cannot forgive you, or you dwell so much on yourself that you lose sight of anything else, including God. It's not fun. But I recall Paul writing, 'When I am weak, then I am strong.' As much as Satan loves to use our weakness against us, God loves to use those weaknesses to draw us unto him." What are your thoughts there?
You know, Martin Luther has that famous line about how do you respond when the devil gives his flings your sins in front of you. And Luther's response, you know, the peppercorn paraphrase here is, oh, well, if you want to know sins, let me give you a longer list. And those are the ones that Christ has continued to bear for me to the cross. That is a big part of what happens with depression and mental illness, is that isolation works hand in hand with what sin is. Sin is separation from God and separation from one another. And so it's really a fantastic tool of Satan. If he can convince us that God no longer cares, or that God is not on our side, I think that was kind of the original temptation, if I recall, then he is doing great work. And this is why the presence of the gospel in the midst of people who are suffering so much is so central, is to recognize, look, I'm not alone, that Christ bore these burdens to the cross for me. And even though I continue to suffer now, I am not suffering as one who has no hope.
Chris listens in Michigan. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, I've been had mental illness most of my life, and I have had a very poor time of finding a good church. And because my wife died, I lost my insurance to pay for a lot of my counseling, and I found that people that have mental illness are not treated very well in the church, and that the kind of church that Rick Warren has actually makes that problem worse, because they want people that have it all together.
Chris, thanks for listening in Michigan. This goes to something that you raised earlier, and that is there's not only the self-imposed isolation, but even among the best family, Christian family in a church, there's a stigma attached. Talk about it, Pastor Peppercorn.
There is a stigma, and it's a tragedy, because of all of the churches that should get this, I think that we have the goods to do this right and to care for these people in need. When I was researching kind of how Lutherans have tried to address this in the 20th century, one of the things that I found was that almost without exception in pastoral theologies, almost across the board, until maybe 10 years ago, the answer to the why do I suffer from depression was always, it's because you don't have enough faith. And so this is something that is a real trial for us that we need to, I think, that we need to confront. Is this is not a question of more or less faith, any more than anyone else struggles with. Of course, it's a question of faith. So does everyone else's struggles. But how do we get men like Chris so that they are at a place where they're able to hear the gospel, where they are accepted and received and loved? It's a hard thing. I wish I had an answer. I don't.
Eric in Pennsylvania asked a really basic question, and this is perhaps from the family member or the friend's perspective. How do you stay positive in the vocation of neighbor when your neighbor appears apathetic that you exist? Forced isolation seems to be a negative effect on mental health. How do you break free from this emotion?
Well, if you are the friend or the neighbor of someone who is suffering from depression, here's at least one of the keys. You are not going to find your joy and satisfaction and, you know, keeping a positive attitude, let's say, from them, because they don't have it to give to you. They are sucked dry, and furthermore, they're probably going to siphon it off of you as well. This is why depression in many ways is basically contagious. It's very, very common for family members of someone who suffers from depression to also eventually suffer from depression themselves. It's because it's just that invasive. So where does that person find their strength from? Well, they're not going to find it from this other person. It has to come from the Word. It has to come from, all right, why am I serving this person? I'm not serving this person so that they can give me something back. I'm serving this person because of what Christ has done for me.
One more quick question. This comes from Dan in LaGrange, New York. He said, would Pastor Peppercorn recommend nouthetic counseling? I don't know what that is. He says, if not, what kind of counseling would he recommend, if any, and why? What are your quick thoughts there?
Nouthetic counseling basically is a fancy word that means rejecting any form of secular psychology and trying to say, okay, our answer to every question is going to be to use the Bible. That's basically what Jay Adams has been the proponent of for a long time. Sometimes today it's called biblical counseling. And I don't know enough about it to speak real specifically. But I guess I'll say this. Every kind of counseling methodology comes from a particular worldview. And so this is why we would be inherently suspicious of Freudian or Jungian psychology, because they have such a warped understanding of anthropology, of the doctrine of man. Because they start from the wrong place, they're, of course, going to end at the wrong place. That is just as true if we're talking about, quote-unquote, Christian psychology. Christian psychology, and I wish that this were not the case, but sadly I think that it is. Christian psychology very often comes from a strongly Arminian or evangelical perspective that it's going to have that whole problem of the will that we talked about earlier. So it may be tossing out secular, secular worldview psychology like Freudian or Jungian, but it may be replacing it with a twisted Christian psychology as well. Only there, the Christian may be more, maybe less likely to question it because it has that word Christian in front of it. I'm not a psychologist. In my own personal experience, the method that I have found to be the most helpful is called cognitive behavior therapy or cognitive therapy. The premise behind cognitive therapy is that how you think about your health, how you think about yourself, and how you behave are completely interrelated.
With only about a minute here, Pastor Peppercorn, what pastoral word, if you could, would you speak to the family of Matthew Warren, to Rick Warren and his family, with about a minute here?
What I would say, first of all, is God's peace to you, that there is that there are no words that can be given that are going to make this right or better. But I would probably give them the words from Psalm 73, my heart and my flesh fail me, but God is the rock of my heart and my salvation. That Matthew's hope, Matthew's salvation is not based in anything that he did or didn't do or anything that happened at the end of his life, but is based solely upon the rock who is Christ, and Christ died for him. That's what I'd say.
Pastor Peppercorn, we'd like to have you back next week.
I'd love that.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California. He's author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Folks, we did a three-part series with Pastor Peppercorn back in 2010 on Christians and depression, where we delved even deeper than in this last hour. You can hear it rebroadcast tonight at 8 Central at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org, a three-part series on Christians and depression with Pastor Todd Peppercorn tonight at 8 Central. Issuesetc.org. Todd, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. My pleasure.
When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., the events surrounding the formation of the first of the distinctively Lutheran public confessions, the Augsburg Confession. We'll bring a little history expertise online with Pastor Matt Phillips, Associate Professor of History at Concordia University, Nebraska, to walk us through those events that surround the formation of the Augsburg Confession, the seed that eventually sprouted into the full-blown Book of Concord, the full-blown Lutheran Confessions. And then we're going to spend some time with Dr. Joel Heck to conclude our seven-part series on creation. Today we're going to talk about dinosaurs, creation, and the flood. That's hour two of Issues, Etc. The darkness of our sin produces all kinds of darkness in our life, all kinds of shadows. And you know, it really is all of us in our fragile state. And each of us are incredibly fragile. If you haven't lived long enough to learn that, then spend a few more years. It's easy to retreat into those shadows. It's easy to flee away from the light of God's Word. The good news is God seeks us out through that Word. And even through the darkest of our darkness, He finds us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. When we come back, hour two of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you in the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
What are the similarities between the founders of Islam and Mormonism? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for April is The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can purchase The American Muhammad by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The American Muhammad, The Issues, Etc. book of the month for April.